This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Hi, Bree. So this is actually a little over 5 years since I first spoke to you on Trick Talks when Trick Talks was on Instagram Live. So I can't believe it's been that long. And tell us everything. I mean, we might as well recap because for listeners, the Instagram Live sessions were very, very fun, but I was new. I feel like a pro now. So I would love for you to listen to Brianna's episode because you definitely deserve to. But also, let's just maybe we recap a little bit too. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about you and your BFRB.
So I have trichotillomania and I have had it since I was 13, 14. I've had it for 13 years. I've had it since I was 14. And it has been a very long journey trying to kind of pinpoint where it comes from and where it's going and just kind of what triggers it. It's been a very long discovery, really. There were a lot of different therapies. I can't say a lot of different therapies, but I've had like three different therapists over the last 13 years. And I kind of learned more in the last 3 years about myself that has kind of opened up my viewpoints that tie into trichotillomania among like other mental disorders. So I would say that it's one of my biggest goals this year to actually be able to take what I learn and apply it to manage things better.
How would you describe the difference of the help that you received when you were younger versus, you know, what you've just learned in the last 3 years?
My first therapist wasn't even really there for like anything other than my anxiety. So, and honestly, like I didn't feel like I was in a safe space enough, like not because of the therapist, but of outside circumstances for me to be able to bring up trichotillomania at that point. So I really didn't even tell her anything up until I was 19. And even then, like it wasn't really the main conversation. So I didn't get kind of the help that I needed. I didn't feel really recognized. I only told like one person at the time before I started like really coming out about it. And I wasn't really taken seriously then either, mainly because that person I low key lied to for so long because I said that I had alopecia and he spent so much time like researching about that. So I guess like all that research kind of was, you know, I guess maybe he felt like the research was wasted or something. And so trichotillomania just kind of ended up being like that thing that I wanted to talk more about, but I wasn't sure who was going to listen. But my new therapist, I had one that was more trauma based a couple years ago. And I worked with her for, I mean, a couple years up until this year. And I discovered a lot about how my body reacts to certain events and traumas. And it kind of started hitting me that it changes your body like so much. Trauma makes you react in ways you never really thought you would. I started realizing why I would tiptoe. I would realize like I would want a form of escapism when I'm stressed. And I think trichotillomania kind of played into that a little bit. There were a lot of aspects in that therapy that kind of made me start questioning things. But unfortunately, she wasn't really versed in OCD, which I ended up being diagnosed with last year. And she highly suggested that I start looking for somebody that is versed in that. And lo and behold, my therapist for this year, she's amazing. She is versed in CPTSD for trauma and trichotillomania and OCD. So we've been learning about each other for the last month, and I have like a lot more goals to look forward to in terms of trichotillomania because of that.
Being able to go to a therapist that has an understanding of trichotillomania, it must feel like an amazing feeling. How did it feel for you when you sat with her and you were like, oh, wait, she actually gets my experience?
It was nice, honestly. Like, I think it was the first time outside of like my husband that I felt validated on a private level. Like, obviously, like being involved with the BFRB community, like, you feel like pretty welcome because like everybody understands. But on a private level, like I don't know a lot of people that actually have it. So being able to talk to a professional about it feels very validating, and I feel like I can dig a little deeper when I talk about it. I feel more, I guess I feel like I'm actually in a safe space to talk about it and not feel like somebody's kind of looking at me dumbfounded, like,
What are some of the tools or strategies that she has brought up to you that maybe you've liked?
We're actually talking about this is where trauma kind of incorporates here, and OCD. My OCD kind of gives me intrusive thoughts. That's like the whole basis of like OCD. You have intrusive thoughts, and it kind of formulates rituals or ways of coping with those intrusive thoughts. And for me, like sometimes I just have these thoughts where I want to express myself, but I consistently get this nagging feeling like, well, who's going to listen to you? Because like there's been a lot of trauma of me not feeling listened to. So something we talked about very recently was expressing herself through art and music. And so I literally just bought a keyboard so I can kind of learn to play piano and use it to kind of deter that urge and move it into expression. And also help like make me feel more comfortable with expressing myself with an actual outlet rather than feeling kind of silenced. And we've been talking about poetry, like getting back into poetry and some other tools. Like I always like the topic of fidget toys and just trying to find the right one for me because I've tried the Tangle toy. There was one that I had years ago that had like kind of a pokey feeling, and I thought I got one year or so ago, and it's kind of bumpy, but it's not pokey, if that makes sense. So my husband actually sent me a TikTok of something called Lil Ouchies, and I really recommend anybody that's into like pain stimming for probably that type of sensation that they're looking for when they pull, like just wanting that like that little ouchie. It's like a little cylinder and it's got little spikes on it, and you kind of squeeze it or like press your thumb against it, like whatever you need. And like it doesn't cause any like physical harm. It's just like that sensation. And I'm actually holding it right now and using it to like cope with my anxiety right now, even though I've done this before, but it's really helpful. I've tried fidget spinners, fidget cubes. Like we talked about a lot of different outlets and stuff. But so far, when she said musical outlet, that was the one I kind of jumped into the most. And I'm really wanting to get a set of drums later on because she said she agreed with me that that would probably help with some anger too.
Amazing. Those are some really great tools. And I love that it's not like she was like, hey, do this and it'll cure you of your trichotillomania and anything else. It was like, oh no, this is just a great outlet for you that is going to bring you joy through this process.
Yeah, like I really love that. One of the biggest things that she said, and it's really funny because like my husband and I had a talk literally the night before my last therapy session, and he even said like he doesn't like saying like he wants to help me stop my trichotillomania because like there are just some things that can only be managed. And literally the next day, that's basically like what she said. And I was like, I love that my husband is just like really getting in on this, you know? And it just felt nice to like kind of have that like extra support that have like the same mindset. 'Cause I also have kind of accepted like it's not something that I can just cure. And I really have felt lost in like managing it. Like I felt like I tried everything.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
But I guess I was just out of ideas because, like, I was mainly just like doing the research on my own for so long. So having a therapist that had different ideas that I just didn't think about to help me manage it just kind of made me feel, I guess, like a boost because I really struggled with just coping with it.
So many of my listeners share that they're nervous to talk to their significant other about it. What was it like sharing with your husband for the first time?
Oh man, it was honestly like pretty easy. Honestly, we've known each other since high school. So he kind of knew pretty casually. And he is the type of person that he's just not judgmental, like in any capacity. And I think the main point of anybody that is nervous to share that with somebody, significant other or not, is kind of addressing within yourself, like, do you feel safe with this person? And have they ever made you feel like, or make you feel like they would make you feel a type of way about opening up to them? Like, do you feel safe being vulnerable for 5 seconds? And if the answer is yes, there's literally no risk of just being open with them. I think my favorite thing about my husband is over the years, I've been able to be more and more vulnerable about everything, trichotillomania, trauma, every diagnosis that I have had or am like seeking. It's been a lot smoother because I feel listened to and seen. And I think everybody should, you know, look for support in their romantic relationships and just their social circles that provide that safe space.
Who was the very first person you told about your BFRB?
That was, a past relationship that I was in, and that was the one that I mentioned that was kind of dismissive, and it was a big difference in reaction between him and, you know, my husband. And I think it was probably one of the probably I guess it made me regret t like saying I had alopecia for so long, because it diminished the feeling I was hoping to feel of support when I did come out about my trichotillomania, because, you know, the initial feeling people had when I, you know, told them, and not just him, but, you know, other people after that, was just like, you know, oh, I feel kind of lied to. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I mean, how do you tell people that you pull your hair out and you don't even know like extensively about that? And if you don't know extensively about that yourself, like, how do you expect them to understand? So it was kind of a hard time during that time.
Yeah, I remember I lied too. I lied and I was like, "Oh, I don't know what happened." And you know, eventually I folded and was like, "Okay, fine, fine, I'm doing it." But just like you said, how do you tell somebody that you're doing this thing you don't have any control because you're just figuring out, you know, like we don't even know that there's a name for it. It's so scary. And to expect somebody to say, "Hey, I pull my own hair out. I pull my own eyelashes out." It's a big ask, especially when we're
Yeah.
so young.
Absolutely.
Your husband is an active military member. When he is around versus when he's not around, how do you manage your BFRB during those times? Is that like an appropriate question for you? Or,
That's totally fine, and
okay.
it's very hard. Point blank period, it is so hard because it's like when your safe space, it just kind of like goes away. Like I tell him all the time that he's my home. Like when he's gone, the apartment feels empty. My job is like literally the only thing keeping me like sane. Like I just stay busy. And then I come home and then I cry a little and then I go to bed. And sometimes like I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I need a self-care day, and I'll like watch TV and then immediately deteriorate into pulling. Sometimes it's I will feel really desperate with the urges. Like it was like pretty bad this last month, and I had to, not had to, but like I kind of fell for the urges and I got tweezers, and that was kind of a low point for me because I never felt so desperate to order tweezers to like cope. And one of the things that I know was helpful for a long time was if I had tweezers, he would hide them. And so something that we kind of developed was if I need tweezers, he would find them while I'm not looking, and then he would like basically take care of the problem here for me. That way it was more controlled. But now I'm starting to feel like that is kind of enabling it. So now it's like when he's home, like I would feel okay with like having tweezers here, but when he's gone, like if I do ask, like I told him to tell me no, like because that control is gone. And even then, like, I feel like they need to be for him. But the stress part does increase a lot because, like, I end up having to do a lot more. My daily routine already is like, wake up at 5, I get to work at 7, and then I come home at like 5. So most of my day is gone and I'm tired. And then I also have to, like, take care of the home, and then I gotta take care of myself. And sometimes just taking care of myself is mentally draining on its own because of the other disorders that I deal with. So it ends up all kind of intertwining and being a little heavier versus like when he's home and he's able to kind of help me with some of the weight.
Where are some of the locations that you find yourself pulling the most?
It's always on the crown of my head, and I get like these little, like really coarse, like thick hairs on the corners of my mouth, like both sides. And those irritate me the most. Like I went into a rampage right before recording today because there was just one that was just sticking out, and I got it. But it was so annoying. And I think sometimes I get my chin, and I've gotten a lot better with my brows. I used to pull my eyelashes, but the growth process was enough for me to stop. Like being stabbed in the eyes every day was enough for that was my habit reversal training right there. That was painful.
During those particularly tough times, like when you're like, I need the tweezers, I've definitely been there myself as well. For someone who maybe hasn't been in the throes of it, how would you describe it to someone?
I feel like it would be like, you get when you get bit by a mosquito, and it doesn't feel bad at first, but then like your skin is so irritated that you just feel that urge to scratch. But then when you scratch, it's just gonna get worse, and then it just gets bigger, and then you have to scratch more. That's kind of how it feels for me. It's kind of cyclical. Like pulling from the top of my head, I end up, making it irritated. And then when I pull around that irritated spot, it feels like it's going away, but I'm actually making more irritation on the scalp of my my head. So it just ends up being worse and worse. And then I just have a giant bald patch for no reason.
Do you have any words of wisdom for listeners?
Don't feel invalidated by people when you do talk about your trichotillomania. Like, your experience is 100% valid. Anybody that tries to make that experience about them or how they feel when that has nothing to do with them at all is not their place and does not reflect on you or your experience. This is like 100% your experience. You are not entitled or not obligated to explain yourself to people. You don't have to tell people that you don't want to tell about your trichotillomania, and this goes for like any disorder too, like any mental health related, any physical thing. You have no obligation to explain yourself or, explain why you didn't tell them. This is your journey, and it only goes as far as you're comfortable with. And if somebody makes you feel unsafe to tell them, that's not your fault. And when you do feel like you can share it, like, know that it's okay and it's gonna be okay. Like, it's good to get it out because that lifts a little bit of that weight and is a part of you. So don't hide everything, or don't hide the things that are big to you, because it might inspire somebody else to speak up. Like, I think it's really important to kind of share with the community a little bit. And there might be somebody that is going through like whatever made you start pulling and need a little space to know that they have somebody out there that's having a similar experience. But obviously, like, do that on your own, at your own pace, if you even choose to. Just know that there's people out there that do understand you as well.